going first, remember?
Rumors?
Yeah.
Oh, with the topic?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Are you ready?
Right now?
We can start off with Nathaniels.
Right off the bat?
We can start off with mine?
Oh, man.
We can start off with Nathaniels.
I'll go. Let's talk it. So...
Oh, well, I gotta introduce the podcast first.
Oh, what are you doing?
Well, I'm just letting you know to be ready.
I'm just falling apart over here.
You can't even
I can't do this.
All right.
Hi, this is Scott Johnson from the Frog Pants Network, and when I'm not recording shows, I listen to the Perfect 10 podcast.
Welcome everyone to episode 29 of the Perfect 10 podcast. It is March 2nd, Saturday morning. When you hear this, it'll be March 6th. Is that right?
Wednesday morning.
March 6th? Wednesday evening-ish. Yeah, so hope everyone enjoyed their week and a half or so without our show, or hope everyone didn't enjoy it. I don't know how to say that.
I hope you were miserable.
Because Thomas is certainly miserable right now. He is sick.
Yeah,
but he's
okay.
Here. He's a trooper.
I'm starting to film Rocky 7 next week.
I am the... So on that note, Thomas, kick us off.
And don't die.
With your topic.
Cough it up. Alright. I'm going to discuss the gold standard for each genre of games.
Okay.
So there's some real easy ones.
Explain
like the
what
gold,
you mean
standard.
By gold standard.
Oh, okay. So,
I'm lost already.
Gold standards are usually the games that either everyone loves or everyone bitches about, because it's all that everyone plays,
okay,
or all that everyone talks about.
Okay.
And then every other game is just a copy of said game.
Right.
So, the MMO one's really easy because it's World of Warcraft.
Right.
Like, there are. To me, there's basically no other MMOs, because World of Warcraft is just the monster, right?
Yeah, not so it's much like, this year and last year.
Well, yeah, there's competitors, but there's not a knock it off its throat and become the new gold standard of MMOs.
Right. Come on, Star Wars, whatever, the New Republic.
The Old Republic.
Right,
the Old Republic.
For about a week.
But what I'm saying is, like, no, you're still right about that, but people aren't really paying as much attention to it anymore.
Right, but it's still your comparison point.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to start playing a new MMO, I'm sure you, somehow in the back of your head, you're like, hey, this is kind of like...
Or you hope it's going to be not like it.
Right, but, like, you can kind of compare it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you do a dungeon crawler, the standard is Diablo.
Right.
Right? Even though, you know, Torchlight is kind of starting to make its own name and become a new sort of standard.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, for shooters, for tactical shooters at least, it's Call of Duty.
Right.
Right. And everyone loves to hate Call of Duty because it is the standard, I guess. Mm-hmm. And also because it doesn't change, but that's a side point. But what I was trying to... Because Tomb Raider just came out, right? And it's supposed to be...
It came out already?
It didn't just come out. It comes out the 6th, I think.
Oh, okay.
The reviews are out.
Oh, okay.
$45 on Steam.
Really?
It's a good deal.
If you pre-order it now, yeah.
But, I mean, people are going to go and compare that to Uncharted, right? Because it's the same kind of... They're going for the same kind of feel. But from what I've seen, it looks like a little bit of its own thing.
Right.
Like, it kind of has a more open world feel to it, even though there's levels. Because you can go back to levels and... rediscover new things with new tools.
Mm-hmm.
While Uncharted, it's kind of just like a linear progression.
Right. I hear a lot of people compare it to Far Cry 3, actually.
To Far Cry 3, really?
Yeah. From the open world point of it.
Huh.
The survival part of it.
I guess, yeah. So I was just thinking what y'all thought of as gold standards and what they... Either how they get there or what they do to get there. Is it just, like, is it popularity?
Right.
Are they actually, like, the best version of that genre? or is it just like the critics that get it to there because of their like reviews or something?
Well, it's I think it's interesting that you call Uncharted the gold standard for Tomb Raider to live its expectations up to, because Tomb Raider like
is the original,
but, and that was the standard for games like Uncharted,
right? But like for this generation, right. You know, everyone's gonna be like, oh, this is just like Uncharted.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
I guess so.
I guess it changes with each generation,
right?
So like last generation, you had Halo as the standard for shooters,
right.
And I don't know, Mario as the standard for platformers and stuff. I mean, I guess he still is. But kind of less relevant.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's tricky.
So, like, third-person shooter, is it still Gears of War? Because
I don't know if there is a gold standard for a third-person shooter. I mean, maybe Gears of War, but it's also not. I mean, it's also only like it's an exclusive to Xbox.
Yeah. So there's not really.
It doesn't. It's not as
comparisons for a multi-platform.
Yeah.
But
Halo. Yeah.
I don't know.
Is transcendent.
Is Heavy Rain the gold standard for storytelling?
Maybe. I was gonna say you could even. I would even say the gold standard for that the type of shooter that Halo is was actually Unreal Tournament.
Yeah.
Or what's that other
Quake.
Game? Quake, yeah. And those really. And I think even then, people look at it and they think, wow, I mean, they still know. I mean, I guess if you're too young to know, you don't. But the people who are old enough to know, they still look at Halo and they still think, wow, this couldn't have happened without these games.
Right.
So there is still the kind of like that hierarchy and respect. So it's, I'm not sure.
I guess maybe like current.
Right.
Gold standards, I guess,
yeah.
Is what I'm going for, because if you go back far enough,
right.
There's always something.
Right, there. Right. But then you look at something like Call of Duty, and you're like, yeah, there were these shooters before it, but there was nothing of this kind before where you like aim down the sights and stuff like that, and that really like kind of changed the way you play the game, and it made things a little slower pace.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me makes more sense to think of it as the gold standard, because nothing really came.
What was Counter-Strike?
In such a way.
You don't aim down a sight on Counter-Strike.
Is that a third-person shooter?
No, it's first-person,
it
but it's like Halo.
Be, it can be third-person if you mod it that way.
It's very... It's closer to Quake than Halo, because
mm-hmm.
it's a little faster.
It came just a little before. Yeah.
Alright.
I think that's a gold standard. It's been around
it's
forever.
Definitely part of the standard of, like, arena combat.
Or just shooters in general.
Yeah, but, like, arena shooters.
Yeah.
But even, I guess... That kind of created some of the really team heavy stuff too.
Like, yeah, like a Team Fortress.
Yeah.
The same company.
Mm-hmm.
I think gold standard just happens on like
just by chance.
Word of mouth, you know.
Yeah, and it's
if your friends are playing this good game, you want to play this good game, and
so like something like wow, like how did that build up to 10 million?
I think it's a perfect storm. It was the. At the time it came out, there wasn't any... People, like, EverQuest 2 was just finishing, I
mm-hmm.
think. And so people had...
EverQuest.
I think it was time. EverQuest 2. Maybe EverQuest 2 came out after and didn't do as well because WoW was already out by that point. I can't remember. But it was, like, it was just right time, right place. And there was really no other MMO for other people to play or think about that was really that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And there were ones coming out right around the same time, but it was just... It's just kind of like, wow, hit. It just kind of... And Blizzard already had this huge rep. Like, they already had their fanboys from Diablo and StarCraft.
It's just... What is the other one? It's just Warcraft,
right? Warcraft, yeah. And so, they just... They had that presence. And, like, I think most MMOs that were coming out around that time didn't have that premise, as far as the company goes. So they had that presence and right time, right place. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure how many... I mean, it was less than a million when people first started playing it.
Yeah.
And it just...
When did it come out?
2004, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how it gained all that popularity fast.
Its graphics were stunning for the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they had that art-heavy approach, so they didn't have to worry about polygons as much. They just textured things on
mm-hmm.
top with art. And the art itself had that mass appeal to where, you know, it was kind of cartoony, but still had that like a little bit of high fantasy going on to where...
Well, it's the Warcraft look, right?
Right,
it's
right.
Just closer up.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, and that appealed to people, right? Because, you know, kids wanted to play this game. Like, my uncle, when he was in the beta, or thinking about getting the beta, he was showing me screenshots, and I was like, wow, like, this game looks spectacular.
It just feels like Warcraft, World of Warcraft has been along so much longer than 2004. I just feel like it's been here forever.
I think it's only been as long as 2004. It might be, I'm pretty sure it's 4. Maybe 2005, but... Cool, well, we're back. Thomas was just coughing up a lung really quick, so...
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. You know, he only has two of them, so maybe this will only happen...
I'll try and keep the other one.
...the second time. Alright, so we were talking about... Gold Standard and WoW got brought up as far as MMOs go. I guess where I was going to, it's really one of those things that I think is a perfect storm, and it's really hard to repeat. You know, there's not a science to it.
Because it kind of changes every generation, right?
It kind of changes every generation, but at the same time, genres change too, you know? So I don't think there's...
Popularity genres.
Yeah, and...
It's like Minecraft.
Right.
There anything like Minecraft?
I mean,
There's literally clones, though, but there's nothing like Minecraft.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in the same way?
Yeah, and it found that kind of void, and it filled it in, and just kind of got really, really at home in it.
That creative niche.
And, you know, and then people keep, they keep reinforcing it by, you know, with their money, so.
Yeah.
But I think, I was kind of thinking about this the other day, because the MMO genre has changed so much that there will never be another game like WoW. Like, that's that massive from an appeal standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, the pay-to-play subscription has pretty much gone away. No, any other game that wants to come out and have a hope of being successful has to have some sort of free-to-play model or a buy-to-play, like, where you just buy
a box. Or
make
it, like, $1 a month or something.
Yeah. WoW will probably never have to drop its subscription model because it has so many people playing that they really have nothing to worry about. They would have to take a really, really severe hit. And if you think about it, like, even if half the players stopped playing...
Blizzard's vault of gold coins.
Yes. So, So they will probably forever be able to maintain themselves just on that subscription, because people will forever continue to pay to play it until they come out with their own next thing that might...
Hopefully.
Yes, that might stop that. So they were... Yeah, I as far as that goes, I think it was just right place, right time. And as far as MMOs go, it was really revolutionary for the time as far as the mechanics that they implemented, and it did feel more action-y.
Yeah.
And you could jump.
So what's going to be the most popular genre next generation? Because FPS is clearly the most popular this generation.
Yeah, and there's that whole FPS MMO push right
now.
Yeah,
there is.
Everybody wants to do that. Shooter MMO, because shooters are popular on consoles, MMOs are popular on computers, so
it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, just look at, like, video games like music, and how back in, like, 60s and 70s, there are all these... You're getting me sick. There are all these, like, giant bands, and they had millions and millions of,
like,
followers,
and
the Beatles and
the Stones,
and now it's... There's big bands, but there's not as many. There's so many subgenres,
singles.
And so many different...
Now it's singles.
Yeah, you can't just... You're not as big as the Rolling Stones, or you can't go to the
popcorn
Beatles.
Popcorn music now.
Yeah, but it's because, and this isn't the right word, but it's the word I'm going to use, and I'm going to be using it in a different way than probably what it actually means, but it's because the world was a lot more unified back then.
Right.
We had one chart to make the top of in records, you know?
Right.
And so, if you made that one chart, everybody was going to know who you were, because everybody was looking at the same chart.
And that's how I feel like video games were back in, like, the 90s to start off with, and you're like... You had made a good big game. You were just everyone's gonna know about you. And now, like, you make a game, and, like, you know, you can get lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
But see, people were also a lot more willing to try a game back then.
Yeah,
because they were cheaper to make, first of all, and you could also go to Blockbuster and literally just, like, look at all of them and not have to buy that one.
Right.
Well, like GameStop, if you're looking at all of them, you're gonna have to buy it. You know, it's a little different.
They were also more misunderstood then, though, as far as like a thing. Like, if you were playing video games back then, it was more widely considered that you were wasting your time or something like that.
People are more willing to try new things, though, also, when they were making games back then. Because it was kind of just like a frontier. Like, oh, hey, we could try and do this. And, well, now it's like, okay, what's making a lot of money? You know, like,
well, it's a weird thing right now, because all these big companies are being shut down, you know, and you can't really...
Well, you
take
can't
a leap unless you, like,
yeah.
get backed by some huge company.
Right.
Unless you're absolutely certain.
Yeah.
This is going to be, like, huge.
Yeah.
You know?
Or if you fail, that there won't be any ramifications.
Right.
Which
I mean,
hardly happens.
And generationally, I mean, we're right at that generation where we can't afford the same lifestyle that people our age in the 80s and 90s were able to get straight out of college, you know? So the games were cheaper, and they probably had more more of an income to spend on games, too.
A little more loose income.
And consoles and stuff, yeah. And that's not so much the case now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. How do we get off on that? How's that relevant to what we were talking about before with gold standards?
Oh, going off onto what the next generation's big genre is going to be. Right. And then, because obviously there's going to be a whole bunch of clones of that.
I think it's going to be, from what I've seen so far about what they're really advertising in games.
Creative stuff?
Well, that, and then with this twist of open world, because that's what they're really pushing, you know, how strong the processor is, and the RAM, so that they could have these, the engines could handle, you know, these more massive worlds, and that's the one thing they keep pushing in Witcher 3, is open world. That's what they're saying, you know, all these other things advertised, like, we want it to be an open world like Skyrim. And there's Minecraft, not only open world, but sandbox open world, and so
I think. Speaking of next generation, I think Microsoft's having an announcement in April.
Yeah, I think I saw that too.
I don't remember what day, but yeah, I think they're doing an announcement date. Mm-hmm.
They're announcing in April
because they don't want to leave it up for grabs until E3.
Yeah. So, and that's confirmed, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it's going to be more open world. I mean, you saw that they even tried to do that with Assassin's Creed 3 more. They tried to make it more open world.
The wilderness.
Trying to make Tomb Raider more open world. Far Cry 3 was open more world. Was pretty open world.
That one game that's coming out that showed up the PS4?
Destiny. Yeah, Destiny's
going to be like
Watch Dogs.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're bragging with Grand Theft Auto 5, you know, how massive that open world's going to be.
Yeah. Just see, like, that comes back to my complaint. Like, they need to populate it, though.
Right, right. No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and everybody kind of has this kind of beehive mind of, like, they all have the same thing they want. And so it's interesting to think about, though, because there's games like the first Mass Effect was fairly open world, and then it funneled. It funneled to more the third-person shooter
action
standard.
Game,
yeah. And the Red Faction games were open world, and they kind of started to tank. Because no one really had that appreciation. I mean, unless it was a Rocksteady.
Apparently, Guerrilla's really good, game. Though. The third,
yeah.
The second to last one.
Yeah.
And then Armageddon's kind of eh.
Yeah. So, but everybody who's reviewed Armageddon still said the open world part was awesome.
Yeah. Saints
really
Row.
Movie.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're heading more towards an open world direction.
I guess
less instant stuff or like.
It's a little disappointing though because open world games tend to have a lot of that dead time.
Yeah.
Either getting from destination to destination, or having to do many things to gain access to the main mission.
Right.
You know what I mean? While when you have, I'm going to go to Call of Duty because it's like, it's like a straight path.
Right.
You do the stuff, you know, things happen, and then you're done in like a 6-hour span.
Right.
I think if those games go away, it's gonna be a little disappointing because it's. Those are the fun, you know, pick up, play, and you're done, and you move on kind of games. While your open worlds are like your month and a half adventures kind of thing.
Well, and I might point out that, you know, because that version of shooter that Call of Duty was in the limelight for so long, you know, they had that pressure to perfect the model and the mechanics. If the open world genre is in that focus, they might, you know, perfect that more. We saw what John Blow was trying to do with his thing. He's like, I want it to be open world,
like,
but
there,
but condensed
stuff
so there's no
yeah.
dead time ever, you know?
Yeah.
I'm kind of convinced now, actually, as we're having this conversation more, that open world is kind of that next thing that people are trying
niche.
To do, and they want to perfect it more, so there's something.
See, the problem with open world games is that they're expensive.
Yeah.
So.
And most people are only going to be playing one at a time.
So how did
yeah.
Minecraft do that then? Because that Minecraft's not a very expensive game.
I think it's one dude that made
right.
it. And
that's probably
it was in beta for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And they took community feedback the whole time as it was in beta.
Right.
And they just updated it, and you bought it once, and you had it, you know, forever.
Then they added servers that you had to pay for that people wanted. That
right, right.
Because
I bought it... Where did I buy it? It was... Sophomore year?
It was cheap, right?
It's 15 bucks. And it's...
Yeah, sophomore.
It's literally, with mods, with the community that it built, it's literally an endless game.
Yeah.
So...
Watch those Frog Pants videos of Scott playing with his server, or all of the...
but like, adventure maps.
Cast videos.
Little people literally make games within Minecraft.
Yeah.
So, like... It's just... It's literally the biggest sandbox that's ever been made. You know,
everybody
like,
loves Legos. Come on now.
Yeah.
Never will.
And it's a good deal, you know. You buy it for $15 and you get anything else you want.
Basically. And all that they have to do is add more Lego pieces.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Or invent or drop more money for more space.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and again, that's kind of that right niche of where there's a lot of serious elements. There's the survival element, and it can be pretty challenging if you make it challenging. But it looks appealing to kids, you know, the art style, it's all blocky, and so.
And maybe, you know, that game is training our kids or younger people,
engineers.
Not our kids, but yeah, no, not to be engineers, but to be ready for this new generation, you know, taking all that time in one single game, you know, not like us where we used to just pop in like Jack and Dexter or
creative builders,
Call of Duty, and just, you know.
I kind of wonder if it's a phase that all kids go through, though, because, I mean, when I was younger, those were the only types of games I really wanted to play, and they didn't really exist.
Well,
you know, there was
creative
the
ones?
Yeah, there was the Lego games, that they weren't that great, and they were really only on a computer, and you had
Lego
to have a good
Island
computer that could run
off. Buggiest game of all time.
Well, and Lego Island's not really a builder, really. But there was the Lego Creator games. I had one of those, but my computer
never
run
got
it,
those.
Run it very well.
I just bought Legos.
But that's all
they're
I ever
just as
really
expensive.
Did you play, like, SimCity?
No, that didn't appeal to me as much.
Oregon Trail, man.
It's super serious.
I didn't like the top-down kind of idea of building.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in Lego Creator, you could build basically from the ground level up, and you could even take control of the characters or the machines that you put into it. And that kind of feels more like what Minecraft turned into. Whereas Sims is still micromanagey as hell. And I mean, but there's people who love that, though. But that was never me. So I wonder if it's like a stage that children go through. Is it just a stage that people are going through? Also, I said if like 1,000 times.
Yeah, I was like if rapid
it's
fire.
Really, really important.
I don't know, because with the Media Molecule new game, like the product, the sculpting one, like. That seems like a thing where you could spend months just making things.
Right. My favorite game on GameCube was Amazing Island. Hours.
Where you just make creatures.
Yeah,
right?
Hours into that, you know. And before that, I was playing Sonic Adventure 2 Battle all the time.
Where you just make things.
I just made Chao and bred Chao and, you know, did all that stuff. So, but that's not me anymore. I couldn't imagine putting that much time or anything like that into it. So.
I just want Pokemon Snap too.
What?
At some point.
Pokemon Snap 2. There's a lot of people who are probably with you on that.
God, I'm down with that. Pokemon Snap was amazing.
I'm surprised they haven't. They're probably waiting for some really good augmented reality tech. Yeah.
Just use the Wii U.
Yeah.
Like, what's so hard about it?
iOS tech or.
What's the Wii U? Just kidding. There's a joke about.
It's the
no
PlayStation
cares.
Vita and the PS4 now.
3DS could do it too.
Yeah.
Easy.
They could all do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird. It was such
I was
like,
listening to a podcast and they were talking about how. God, the first thing that the soda Sony did was basically like, they're like, okay, Wii U's done. Because they were like, oh, you can play your PS4 games on your Vita. And they were just like, and bit slapped to Nintendo.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
They got the Kinect camera now, too, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
So.
Basically, they're just going like, your move.
Yeah.
I don't know what Microsoft says about all this.
I don't know.
I'm ready. I'm ready for them to blow us. Someone to blow us away.
They're definitely gonna try and integrate that smart glass thing more. Cause it's really not that much.
I see them putting your games on your tablet, and then you just hook up your controller wirelessly.
But is it gonna be like Droid only tablets?
Yeah. Is it like their Surface tablets, Microsoft?
On iOS smart glass.
Right. But
right now.
And that's just smart glass. It's just like a easy little software thing. But when it becomes time to integrate games so that they work on either, like work really well on either.
Do you think they're gonna integrate Xbox Live with Windows Live?
That's kind of one of those things where they either need to really do that and do it well, or just destroy
just
Windows
stop
Live.
It. They should just stop that.
Yeah. You've heard the stories on
Windows Live is just a nightmare.
On Final Score, where someone went out and bought the Xbox version of a game because they saw Scott and Nicole were on live playing a game, but they were just playing on Steam. But Windows Live was just telling them
that
they were online.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so,
but not for that guy.
so they make fun of like that happening a lot too, and there's just weird kind of things that you would never. I mean, all that person had to do
was return the game
or call them and say, "Hey, what version are you actually playing?" or whatever. But you know, there are those weird things of like it says you're online, but you're not really online in any way where someone can interact with you.
Right.
So
I don't know, man.
How did we get here?
I don't know. That's how this show works.
Tangent. Tangent. Microsoft's gonna come out and it's just gonna be a full body suit. And they just get dropped into the game. It's like, right?
Roller Coaster Tycoon?
No.
It's all the thing it
wants. Oh, man.
There's an iOS version of it.
And then when you get shot, something like bullets.
There's a Mac version of it, but not the good version. What? What?
And it's not, that's not on Steam yet?
I don't think so. Right? You know?
I think there's Zoo Tycoon on Steam. I think.
No, they're just going to come out with the helmet. The Oculus Rift is the next Xbox. They just haven't told you yet.
Just the Google glasses. I just want what.
Have you seen that commercial for Google glasses?
No.
That's cool.
I just want what that kid designed that we saw in our virtual worlds class.
Which is basically the
Google glasses. Right, because I mean, Google hired him, but I don't think it ever really. I don't think Google glasses became what he envisioned in that video, which his was just like a better way to experience reality. It was like, essentially. You see a person, and like you might observe that
their social security number comes up.
No. But you might
have them watchdogs.
You might like observe that like that they're feeling a certain emotion, like sadness or whatever. And in order to help you empathize better, like you could like say like run program, show me how other people feel, and it puts you in a state to where you can like
just turning us into robots, huh?
No, it's the opposite of robots. It's trying to prevent us from turning into robots by connecting us.
How to deal with sadness.
Well, it was kind of like, so you know how there's all sorts of things on the smartphone now where anytime anything ever happens, you just press the share button and you can select where it goes. It was like kind of like that, but with like emotion. If you experienced an emotion, it'd be like share.
And anger, share. Yeah. With everyone.
So it was
connected to Skynet.
Yeah. I always thought that was really interesting. But what does that say?
I think this topic's done.
Yeah, this topic's done. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back,
27 minutes.
I'll be talking about Saga. So, see you on the other side
of the break. Majin Buu Saga?
Which I never finished.
No, man, the Twilight Saga.
You never finished Majin Buu?
Dude.
I didn't finish Majin Buu.
It was like 100 episodes.
But it's so...
Hi everyone, it's Ethan here. If you would like to contribute to the show in any way, whether it's providing a bumper... or emailing in and just letting us know how you feel about the show. Even if you just want a shout out, write in. We'll put it out there. Write in at perfect10podcast@gmail.com. And remember, that's perfect 10 with the 10 part spelled out, as in T-E-N. Or you can also tweet us now at perfect10show. We look forward to getting in any kind of contributions that you have out there. Like I said, we'll play a bumper if you put it out there. We'll give a shout out if you want that as well. So, yeah. Just do it.
And that's how the robots won the war.
And Jesus was born.
Welcome back, everyone, to part 2 of episode 29. I got the number right this time, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I always get it wrong in the second part. So I'll be doing this segment, and I'm going to talk about the comic book series published by... Image Comics, written by Brian K. Vaughan and illustrated by Fiona Staples, and burping by Thomas. excuse you.
So I think of sagas.
No, actually, you would love Saga. I can tell you that right now. So
I apologize,
and that is a taste of how. Very non-biased my review of Saga so far is going to be, because I think it's awesome. It is possibly the best comics I've read
ever
since I started reading comic books, like on a monthly basis.
That's what everyone says, right?
Yeah. It's amazing. First of all, before I even start talking about the book itself, the creator's response to their fans, like just that kind of like responsiveness that they have, that accountability. Is amazing. At the end of every single issue, they answer letters, and like I think at least in the trade paperback, because I read the the first volume, the first six issues on Comixology, but they released it as the first six issues together. They have, like, at the back of that, they have, like, scripts, original scripts that they had written for the series. They have Fiona, the illustrator, actually walk you through kind of how her process that she goes through when she's drawing the panels.
What?
And yeah. And she, and like her explaining what she does, because the art is, it's very good art, but there's moments where it looks extremely like quickly done, like there's not a lot of effort put into it. And she basically says straight up, she's like, yeah, actually, she's like, I don't spend a lot of time on the characters, on the parts that aren't very important, basically, she's like. And everything's done digitally. I'm not sure if, I'm guessing in Why the Last Man that's not entirely the case. But in Saga they keep bragging how it's like the art is purely digital. Most, like, almost all of it is created actually on tablet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the characters from time to time don't look, they're always interesting. They're always like, there's always in a very interesting action shot, but there's not a whole lot of detail going into them from time to time. But the flip side of that is all the environments that they're in are like amazingly drawn. She puts a lot of detail into that, and so it creates this really interesting kind of aesthetic. But yeah, so it's just cool getting to see their creative process. To review, synopsis, or not even synopsis, but here's the hook. So there's it's a space opera. So it's if you like Star Wars, if you like Star Trek. Not all those are space operas. I don't think Star Trek is considered a space opera. But if you like Star Wars, if you especially like the Abrams Star Trek right now, if you like Mass Effect, then...
Yes.
And if you like Lord of the Rings...
Yes.
Then...
Oh, no.
If you like the fantasy elements of Lord of the Rings...
Maybe.
There's not a whole lot of walking in Why the Last Man. Saga, so you'll be happy. I'm sure there's a lot of walking in Why the Last Man.
There is. There's tons of
it's a very cinematographic.
So it's a massive world. There's multiple races, tons of races. The races are designed in a more fantasy way than a sci-fi way, meaning you see these races and you don't look at them and think alien, you look at them and think monster more, I guess, is the way to think of it. But the hinge of most of the storytelling and the problem that's really like the catalyst for everything is there's two races that are warring with each other. One race is called the Landfallians, or I think that's what they call them from time to time. And then the other race, I just tried looking it up, but I couldn't find out what they're actually called. But people call them the Moonies or the Lunatics and stuff like that. And they're from the moon called Reef. And so the Landfallians they have wings. They everything about them looks human, but they have wings, and the wings vary in shape and design. So some people have feathered wings, some people have dragon wings.
Angels.
I'll get to that. And then the what are called the Mooners or the Moonies, and I think those are supposed to be like derogatory terms. But the people from Reef are they have horns. Yeah,
they're devils.
And the horns vary too. The main characters, Marco's horns are ram like. They curl down. So the catalyst for this entire story is. It's Romeo and Juliet, a chick from the Landfallians and the dude from Reef, a guy from Reef. They fall in love and they have a baby. And basically, this baby isn't supposed to exist. Like, so the entire galaxy has basically put a hit out on them to kill them. And they don't actually want to kill the baby. They want the baby brought back to the royalty or whatever, which are robots. And the whole entire story is being narrated by the baby, all grown up. As an adult,
The ending. Well,
you know that they don't get her yet. I'm waiting for maybe, and it's a girl. The baby's a girl, Hazel. But I'm guessing. I'm curious if eventually it's going to hit that moment where it catches up to her, and then there's going to be a certain part then where it's about her.
So does the baby have horns and wings?
I think so. Yeah, you definitely see horns. I don't know if you see the wings yet.
Gets
into this. They don't really touch on it much, but there's no way it's not the case, but it's this. I think it actually is this allegory of angels versus demons, and if you're a fan of like the Darksiders mythos or the Diablo mythos, what happens when the angels and demon have a kid?
Nephilim.
Yeah, it creates the Nephilim, which are.
Oh, that was a question.
Yeah,
it
creates the Nephilim, which is the race that's supposed to destroy both the angels and the demons,
right.
And then be even greater than man or whatever. So. that kind of creates some interesting, if you think about it in terms of that way, which again, they don't talk about it at all, but it's kind of hard to ignore the fact that this race looks like angels, this race looks like demons, they had a baby that's a mixture of the two, and no one is okay with that.
Are there humans in this?
You know, there hasn't been a single person that they've called a human, and there's only one character that I've seen so far in the entire storyline that looks human. Meaning he has nothing on physically that makes him look anything different from human.
Just wait.
So, so who knows?
Have you read this? Oh.
But, I don't know, it's like, it's interesting because it's this very immersive world, and there's all these politics and religions and all this stuff, and it just throws you into it, and it doesn't explain a whole lot of it, and you just kind of have to, like, pick it up as you go. But the design...
So are you racist when you read this? You a Mooney hater?
No, but there is a lot of racism in it. And it's designed in a way to where, again, even though it's like sci-fi, it's very nonsensical. You know, there's no like physics going into this or science. It's just like it's set in space, but it's very fantasy-like. So that's how it's like Star Wars or something like that. The dialogue is amazing. You fall in love with most of the characters. Like even Prince Robot the Fourth, I think that's his name. Even he's kind of he's not the villain, but he's kind of the guy who he's one of the people who's after Marco and Alana and their baby Hazel. And he's still pretty funny, so like you're still kind of like him. And then the Will, which is basically the bounty hunter that's trying to also kill Marco and Alana, he's the guy that looks human. You like him because he's a sociopathic killer, but he has these you see his kind of story that's being told, and his interactions with some other characters make you like him, and so you kind of like all sides. It's not like you're just rooting for Marco and Alana the whole entire time. And I don't know, it's awesome. There's this really freaking creepy but sweet ghost called Isabel, and she doesn't have a lower part of her body at all, and it's not in like a fantasy way where just her lower part of her body's not there. It's like, nope, the way she died, she was cut in half, and you see her intestines kind of hanging out of her when she's floating around, and she's the baby's babysitter, and I don't know, it's great, it's so fun to read, it's fast to read, too. Like, I read 10 issues in 2 days. I read the entire volume in one night, just in one sitting, and it's really fast. It's really easy to read. The moments that are narrated by Hazel are amazing because it's actually the illustrator's handwriting, and it doesn't have like. And I know in comic books the typical narration is the box in the corner or whatever.
Right.
No, it's just handwritten.
It's just
kind of
on
like,
there.
Yeah, on there.
Huh.
And I mean, it's always really nice looking, but. I love it. I mean, the spaceships, like, they're in a wooden spaceship made of trees right now, where I'm at. It's not, like, a conventional sense of a spaceship by any means. And the Moonies have magic, so it's, like, that's their thing, is they're kind of like wizards and stuff.
Wizard demons?
You mean science that just didn't explain?
Maybe.
I'm just kidding.
Perhaps.
Midichlorians?
Yeah. And the Landfallians are a lot more on the science side of things. They're a lot more military and soldiers, and you know, it can be gory, it can be gross, and there is a lot of like nudity and sex and stuff in it. But it's hard to explain. But it's a mature thing. But it adds to the craziness of that world. It doesn't detract from it. You know, it's all part. It builds that kind of dystopic kind of sense of things. I don't know that it's just really well designed, thought of, and even like the civil war that's going on between the Landfallians and the Moonies there's a really interesting not twist to the story, because you find out at the beginning, but it's the twist to how the war works. But essentially the Moonies from the moon Reeth, that moon is the moon of the planet that the Landfallians are from, and so they can't wage war on each other's territories.
Because they mess up the tides.
Yeah, because they're afraid of either... The Landfallians are afraid of destroying the moon, which would destroy Landfall, essentially, and vice versa. Hmm. And so they basically outsource all of their soldiers to other planets to fight on. So it's like, it's this really ridiculous war, because they're not even fighting for land at this
point.
They're just fighting because they hate each other.
Why did one side just not send anybody?
Huh?
What?
Yeah, the army's like waiting. Like,
because that's losing, right?
Where is everybody? No, the guys are just there.
Yeah, but it not only is that its own kind of commentary on how stupid war is, like there's that commentary just in the ridiculousness of their war. They're not fighting for land, they're just fighting because they hate each other. But then, and within that, there's actually like a book that the two main characters, Lana and Marco, basically are in love with, and this book is the commentary on their war as well. So there's that kind of nice meta level of, not only is the book or the comic book itself a commentary on war to a certain extent, but there's a book within the comic book that's a commentary on war. I don't know. It's really well made. Thomas, you would love reading it. You would hate waiting monthly for issues, so you're probably better off just reading it after it's done, I guess.
Warner has a whole volume out, right?
Yeah, it has the first volume
out. Warner has 700 issues.
It ends on a mega cliffhanger, though.
It has 700 issues?
No, it has 10 issues. And it was on hiatus for a few months. Because they weren't sure if...
It really only has 10 issues?
Yeah, it only has 10 issues. It just started last year. It's the best money I think you could spend on comics right now. And I think this week there was actually a sale on Amazon where you could buy the first volume for $5.
Plus $5 shipping.
Yeah. So it comes out being...
$10.
$10.
$11.
Still cheaper than buying at any comic book store, though. So.
But if you buy something else, you get Super Saver shipping.
That's true.
It is true. That's over like $25 if it pushes it over.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just buy a game.
So that's my review. I hope I did it justice. There's a lot going on in it. Some of the characters, man, are just messed up looking. The Stock, she's another bounty hunter. She's like a spider lady. But
gross,
she
can't
has,
read it.
Yeah, that might freak Thomas out.
Oh, yeah, Thomas's irrational fear of
spiders. She has, like, her top half looks like a woman. A naked woman.
I can read it.
She has a weird alien face, like, with eye slits or whatever.
I can't read it.
But she has no arms. So she's just like this... So, and when you first see her, she's wearing, like, you see a dress, and her top half is naked, and she has no arms, and it's just spooky-looking, but still kind of beautiful. And then you see what's underneath the dress, and it's a spider body, so it's, like, all eight legs and everything, so it's really
kind of like that chicken Diablo, right? With arms?
Yeah, pretty much. Crazy. So she doesn't have arms, because she has eight legs that are...
Right, they have a monster like that in Dark Souls. Do you remember fighting?
Yeah.
She spits out lava.
and there's a love interest between that character and the human bounty hunter.
Why is
there
always a spider character? Lord of the Rings,
it's
Harry
fantasy,
Potter,
spiders are
fantasy
easy.
Standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spider skeletons.
Everybody's kind of afraid of spiders, but kind of admire them.
Whoa!
Another racial slur, Nathaniel? Really?
All right. Sorry about that. We're back. I got a package by Amazon, so from Amazon, so it's all good. I don't really remember where I was at. I think I was wrapping up my review of Saga. Anyways, art's amazing, the world is awesome. It's nice having a fresh universe that doesn't have all of this continuity that you have to like know before you can jump in. You know,
mm-hmm.
You could buy issue one or volume one and just start reading.
That's
great.
Good.
Don't
just
need to
like
know anything.
Starting.
And also, you're only 10 issues in, so. If you want it, I mean, it's still pretty
it's
feasible.
Only $50.
Caught up? No, it's like
$10.
It's a $10 trade gets you to issue 6, and then it's 5 issues after that, so it's like $15.
Only buy
bucks
single
tops.
Issues. Oh, they're only $1 each.
No, they're like $3 each. Oh, if you're to buy single bucks, period, it's $30
yeah.
then.
Oh,
you can find all the single issues.
They're $2.99.
Yeah,
it's a good deal.
Yeah,
I'll just wait till. Second volume comes out.
I'll just wait for the
it's
omnibus.
Yeah, the second volume's gotta be. Well, it's at least a year away, probably, if you think about it, but cause it takes a while. But,
okay.
But yeah.
Things work slow.
Yeah.
Just wait for the omnibus. You're good.
The first volume does go by really fast, and it does have a cliffhanger. So, like, I went, and I mean, it's all. I was just buying them on Comixology, but I bought all the issues after the first 6.
I just don't like having one like a volume and then like issues and then I'll have another volume.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No, I get that totally. Yeah, now so but now I'm on like the monthly waiting kind of thing now, and
uh-huh.
it sucks because it's like oh I have to wait a month, but I'm also kind of excited to be part of everybody else who's waiting a month now also, and to be able to buy it as soon as it comes out and then talk about it and stuff. So that's my review of Saga. We'll take an official break and then come back and Nathaniel finish this show up.
We'll be right back. can't get behind your Death to America stance, Ethan. But
I wasn't as good as you. I know. You had my hopes up. I'm waiting to be like really embarrassed. All right, everyone.
Death to America is not embarrassing.
Not in his delivery. Oh, okay. The delivery for yours was golden.
I think it's because he told you it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, it was an official break. Whereas,
yeah.
The way you did it with Nathaniel's actually made it sound like we had to edit a part out because Nathaniel said something.
I did say something, right, guys?
No.
Oh.
All right, welcome back to the official part 3.
You know how many times we said welcome back in this episode?
What you yapping about?
What? Oh, what am I talking about?
Yeah.
Well, my discussion today is... That disgusting.
That sounded amazing.
Yes, and amazing.
I wish I could do that.
Is how old is too old
now
to go to children's movies? And what I mean by that
is...
In
your pajamas?
Not like... In a creepy way, uh-huh. Of like, you're 40 years old and right. You like cartoons or something like that, because that's my dad, but he's 50 years old. And
did you just call your dad creepy?
Yeah, you did.
Maybe.
Yeah, you did.
No, my dad, I'm saying we go see cartoons all the time.
Right, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But I just feel like I'm getting to that state where I'm seeing these movies, and if it's like any like bit of silly humor or like slapstick humor, I get like, oh, this is all grumpy, and I get all old man, this is for little kids, and I can't believe they would do this in this movie. And I don't know if it's just me getting older and losing my inner child, or is it just the movies are becoming different.
You.
No, because
okay, well, so define, so are you talking about children's movies or family movies? Because the movies you were talking about,
family
the
movies
you're talking about to us off the air before we started were kind of neither. They were what? Teen movies.
I would say there'd be more family movies.
The teen
to
family
would not take
movies.
My 6-year old sister to go see Jack and the Giant Slayer.
Why would not?
Because she'd be terrified.
But the thing is,
they
she wouldn't.
People.
It's a PG-13 movie, so it's, yeah. By that standard, it's not really a family movie either.
I understand that, but I'm saying. That's the point. She went.
Are you
I thought.
To say something about your childhood.
No, I'm just trying to say like I thought it was gonna be like where you couldn't take like a 6-year old to it, but it what it ended up being like.
Well, because from what I heard, the giants just fart and burp all the time.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So
that's part of it.
But
so,
I think that's a flaw of the movie.
Yeah,
and not
poorly
a flaw
written
of,
humor. I think not.
Because I listened to a review of it because I was curious, but like they said they were like the movie's just flawed because the giants are supposed to be scary and stuff, but they just fart and like. Have silly things, like when they're supposed to be menacing man-eaters.
Exactly. So am I at fault for
probably
like
not
like?
Probably not.
I think it's just. A
and then
movie.
When you go see, when I go see like some animated movies,
uh-huh.
They'll have funny parts, but they'll be like super serious, like Tangled.
Uh-huh.
Have y'all seen Tangled?
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but
it's like
that's a Disney. Like that's what Disney does. Though.
Way more compelling than like
right.
What the I was talking about. What was the other movie? The Hobbit too.
Uh-huh.
I was just like. Look, it could be so epic, and then it
the
just
Hobbit
like falls flat.
When, that I've heard.
I mean,
nothing happened during The Hobbit's the problem.
Well, that's an,
I actually don't mind that nothing.
But
happened.
I don't think that this is really. I think the stasis of the problem you're talking about or whatever. It's I don't think it really has anything to do.
I
with
think
the,
you're just on
the,
a chain of movies that you didn't like.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with the family label. I mean, the mark of a really good family movie, and this isn't a children's movie, a family movie. A really good family movie is that it has something for everybody in the family. So. Like
mm-hmm.
Shrek, for instance. Shrek is like heralded as one of the most amazing family movies of all time because there's all of the farting and the slapstick stuff for the children.
And there's
but
the
there's
humor
these,
they want to get.
There's these really hilarious like innuendos and stuff for the adults to get and stuff like that. So,
but if I were to watch Shrek again right now, would I like it still?
I would laugh my ass off.
But why? I know that one has like all these fart jokes and stuff in it too, and then this new movie
had it. I don't think Jack the Giant Slayer had the stuff that you wanted. It didn't have the other half.
You also weren't going to see Jack the Giant Slayer because you thought you were getting a family movie, right? You wanted to see it because
you
thought you
action.
Were getting some sort of action
right,
movie
some,
with Jack and the Beanstalk.
Right, and that's what I... That's what it was,
yeah.
But it just... I don't know, it just...
But they try to shoehorn
dilutes
it
itself with some other things and just turns into... The characters are so over the top sometimes and it's like...
Oh, yeah, so, right. I saw... Last week I saw Identity Theft because I went home to the Woodlands.
Jason Bateman and the Fat Girl.
Yeah. Marissa.
I'm sorry.
She's the funny
nice.
Chick?
She's the hilarious chick from The Nines and
Bridesmaid.
And Gilmore Girls.
Bridesmaid.
She's in The Nines?
Yeah, she's Mary.
Yeah, she's the like the girl that's like, hey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's an amazing actress. So
she's in a show that's called about fat people called
but it's,
Mike and Mindy or something.
She's so cute at the same time though. It's a weird kind of
not
thing.
At the Oscars.
Anyways, that's not the point. That's not what I'm getting at.
Stop judging people, Thomas.
I didn't really see this by choice. I went home and this is just to say that I never would have gone to see this on my own.
Right.
I can tell.
I went home and my sisters had basically made plans to see a movie and it was Identity Theft, so we went as a family to see it. Which is, it's an R-rated movie, so it's not even a family movie by that extent, but we're all adults.
All grown
so, so we saw it, and, you know, it's acted well. Jason Bateman, his delivery is probably better in this than I've seen him in a comedy in a really long time. And Melissa McCarthy, yeah. She was hilarious, too. It wasn't written particularly well. Like, most of the jokes weren't that funny, and there was a lot of slapstick stuff in it. And then you add to it that even though it was an R-rated movie, there was, like, 20 13-year-olds in there. Like, a group of them. It wasn't just, like, a bunch of 13-year-old kids snuck in. It was, like, they were, like, there for, like, a birthday party or something crazy. Like, I think their parents were with them. So, every single slapstick moment, they were just laughing their asses off. And it wasn't that funny. But there was, like, three or four parts in there that were just comedy gold. And I was sitting right next to my dad. And he and I just started cracking up. Almost to the point of tears, and no one in the theater was laughing at those parts. But I swear, it was the delivery, it was the timing of it. It was like, you knew something was going to happen, and it happened, and you knew that they were going to react a certain way, and they reacted that way, and somehow that made it funnier instead of bad. It was also a two-hour movie, and it's a comedy. No comedy should really be 2 hours.
No.
I think it's not a family movie, but there are those stupid parts that weren't even in there for kids, but the kids
were there
and they laughed at it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I totally hijacked your topic.
No,
I think you're just looking for different types of comedy.
Yeah.
So when we watched Fright Night, like, the premise itself was a funny premise,
right.
But like, I think we laughed the hardest at the lines that were like delivered in a different way.
Right, right.
So like, we were,
they're smart.
I sound so weird in my head right now. But like, the delivery is what
it's
made
not just
it funny.
In your head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the lines, I know. The lines might not have been as hilarious if it wasn't delivered the way
right,
it was.
Right.
So, like, when you're looking for... I can't say it's more mature, because it might not be. Like, the line might be something really immature, but, like, if it's delivered in the right way, you're going to laugh. But when it's just, like, some guy slips and he farts, it's just like, I'm a little past that, you know?
Yeah. But the SpongeBob kids aren't.
Yeah, I think that's the problem I had with The Hobbit, too, was... That did you see it?
Yeah, I did.
I don't get how
don't
the Hobbit falls
much,
into
but...
that category, because the Hobbit isn't a bunch of farting and pooping and stuff.
But there are parts in it that you just like, I just groan. It's like, why would you even put that in there? Like,
really?
You see one in the trailer where the giant troll or Goblin King falls on everybody. They're like, this couldn't get any worse. Oh, ha, 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 like, right in the middle of the thing, and everyone's, like, dying laughing in the theater. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, why is this even funny?
I can't.
Is it like that, Thomas? I don't know, I think that...
I'm not supposed to laugh
right now. I don't know why that was really that funny.
It wasn't that...
But that part was in there, right? And it was
like...
But there's that stuff... I mean, there's that stuff that's... The Marvel movies are laced with that.
It's kind of like
the
that,
Marvel movies.
That, like, it's nudging you, like, hey.
Yeah.
This is funny, isn't it?
There's that one part... in all the Lord of the Rings,
uh-huh.
It's super serious, except for that one part where Legolas takes his shield, or takes a shield, and starts, like, snowboarding down. And I'm like... Every time, I just, like...
Oh, see, I thought that...
I
really
part.
Appreciated that part, because I thought it kind of... It just showed the, like, the quickness that movie turned those three characters into the buddy cop characters.
I mean,
right.
If there was a shot of him going, like, yeah...
That's
like,
essentially
that,
what he was doing.
What
it was
he
like,
didn't,
we're doing this to relate to skateboarders and be cool.
Not really, but it was like... But, I mean, him and Gimli are keeping score the whole entire time. They're turning the fight
that's
into
more,
a competition.
I can see that more, because...
It's just, I think that's just kind of adding to that kind of tone. I mean,
And that's been done before.
And it's if you think about it, it's smart. He's able to go down the stairs and fire multiple arrows.
It is smart, but I just, at the time, it's just like, I felt like they're like, we're just trying to do this to connect.
Yeah.
Nothing, but that's like the only moment in that whole movie that's like that, you know?
I don't know. Trilogy. I felt like that was part of, I felt like that fit with his character really well. It's just something, it's something that I saw Legolas, at least the Orlando Bloom Legolas, doing.
Yeah, I think that fits with Orlando Bloom. Yeah. I'm not sure if that fits with
his character. There is one part in the Fellowship of the Rings that will be forever ruined for me and my sister. Because I wanted her to watch the movies with me because I thought she'd like them. And I kind of didn't take into account how scary the orcs actually were. Mm-hmm. She was quite a bit younger then, too. And so she started getting scared in the scene when they're underground and it's really dark in Fellowship of the Ring and they're being attacked by the orcs, or the goblins, I guess.
Sure.
And there's this one scene where, I think it's Legolas, he fires an arrow at one of the goblins and it hits him in the throat. And it makes the most hilarious sound ever. It's like a rubber tire being shot. And it's just like... And for whatever reason, to make my sister less scared, I pointed out how hilarious that was to her. And so we watched that, and it's just... It's slapstick at that point, you know? It's not anything else. But, I mean, that was me intentionally picking it apart so as to make it less serious for her. But you do need those moments, right? In a serious thing, you need something kind of eye-rolly, at least, to make it not so tense anymore, right?
That break.
Well, I think the mark of a really good movie would, like, you do it subtly. Like, I feel like the keeping score thing was more that moment than... Anything that writing down the thing would be, I don't know.
I laughed at a really awkward part of Side Effects, and Emily was like, "That's not funny." I was like, oops, the Jude Law and Channing Tatum. It just came out.
Like, these movies are all the same now. I don't even know.
No, this one's pretty good. I think you'd like it.
Side Effects. Okay, mm-hmm. Channing Tatum.
Yeah,
he's not in it very long.
He gets killed off. Oh yeah, you said this right.
The chick from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah. Oh, she's creepy.
She's always creepy.
And a really weird looking Catherine Zeta Jones.
She's always been kind of weird looking.
But this is a little extra.
A little extra weird?
Yeah.
Speaking of, did y'all like the First Lady presenting the.
I didn't watch the Oscars.
I'm so tired of her.
I was reading on the paper.
She's everywhere.
I am like.
Get out of my business.
Why are they
Michelle?
Even.
I've only heard them. All I know about is what they said in the morning stream. And from what I've heard from that is that, yeah, it seemed kind of ridiculous.
Seth MacFarlane was awesome. I don't know what anyone else said.
From everything I've heard, he sounded awesome.
He was okay. He wasn't bad.
I laughed so hard at his Lincoln joke. Oh, God.
He already said
the one that everyone groaned at.
The only I didn't catch it. I wasn't like paying that close attention at the time.
I almost cried.
So, but getting back to your topic though, so take something like Rise of the Guardians for instance, which didn't really have that much humor in it aside from
the elves
and
that were like the minions.
Santa was pretty slapsticky as a whole. He was serious but pretty. But, you know, they do that things with Jack to make him seem like he kind of has his Legolas moments, you know? He's essentially surfing, but with ice and stuff like that.
Maybe I think it's just different.
But you love that movie.
Love that movie.
I think it takes you finding a really bad movie that does that a lot to understand, like, what you don't like and what you like.
Maybe because I do need to see a movie that does it too much.
Yeah, you need to see something that really sucks at it. To be like, okay, this is where I draw the line.
And once you decide you hate it, it becomes that kind of pet peeve that you see everywhere else and annoys you.
I think I'm more lenient, too, with cartoons because I'm expecting that a little bit more. When these live-action movies, I'm like,
I think the thing is, though, there's not really children's stuff that much anymore, especially not in theaters. And, I mean, I was thinking about this a lot since, you know, Young Justice got canceled.
Which is mind-boggling.
Right, but, I hate it because it's one of the best shows on Cartoon Network, and they know it. At the same time, though, by season two, they seriously have probably lost most of their audience because it was no longer a kid's show. It started out, at least, as a kid's show. Then it made all their main characters grow up into adults, and it started playing on these more teenager concepts. And at that point, they've lost their kids, at least, and teenagers aren't really going to be watching it because what teenager wants to admit that they're watching a cartoon, right? So people like us who don't care, we watch it and we think it's great. There's a serious flaw in how things are marketed towards their audience right now, I think, is more the problem. Jack and the Giant Beanstalk, I don't know what it was marketed as. I kind of took it as like a B-list action movie that had a cool concept to it. From what I've seen of trailers, at least.
I took it apparently, as a pass.
Apparently, it wasn't necessarily that.
The trailers made it look so epic, though. And
the trailers made it look so bad.
No!
I'm kind of with Nathaniel. I thought the trailers... I thought the premise didn't sound that great, but the trailer actually made me kind of
right.
go... Right.
I was like...
It seems like it could be enjoyable.
Jack and the Beanstalk? Yeah. Okay, and then I saw the maybe, and I was like, trailer... Oh, this is actually decent. I
After
go see
Snow
it.
White... I want to hear what everyone has to say about him before I go see
but
him.
But you're one of the few people who really doesn't like Snow White.
I wanted to like Snow White.
It looked really right. good coming in, and I was like, eh.
But a lot of people bad. Like... I still want to see Snow White. From what I've heard.
Yeah.
I don't like...
his most epic speech at the
and
end.
I love...
Well, okay, that was terrible.
I love public domain, like, stuff. I mean, that's I'm a huge fairy tale fan and stuff. And I'm always skeptical when it comes to making those things, like, adapting them in a certain way.
Red Riding Hood.
Because a lot of those things don't end up very good. There's one domestic property that I don't really care about that much, and it's the Snow White one, but I saw that trailer, and I was like, I kind of want to see that.
I think you would appreciate some parts in it. Honestly, I do.
I think, from what I've heard, at least from, like, the character design, like, the creatures looks awesome, so.
And What's-Her-Face was freaking...
Charlize Theron.
Oh, my gosh.
She's pretty hot.
Man. Yeah. The special effects on her were mind-blowing, too, and they actually got nominated for...
They did.
They didn't win, but of course.
But, I mean... But if you go to, like, judging things from what you think about it or what you know, what I always go back to, and I'm always embarrassed about this now because he's one of my favorite writers, although I wasn't reading stuff by him at the time, and I had no way of knowing that this movie came from something he made, but Stardust. I mean, when you tried to get me to watch that with you, I didn't know what I thought it was, but I heard something called Stardust, and I was like, this doesn't sound like a movie I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down, when I finally sat down and watched it with you and Allison, I'm like, whoa, this is one of the greatest movies I've seen in, like, the last 10 years. It's an amazing movie. And it feels like a children's movie. The book is even kind of written in a way for children, but it's so kind of dark and grown mm-hmm. up at the same time that it's, if anything, it's a family movie where you just maybe need to be careful with
kind of like a bridge to Terabithia.
Yeah. Talk about things that weren't marketed well.
Oh my god!
I watched that thinking I was gonna get a pick me up, and I was totally downed by the middle of that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that movie.
And they really pushed the fantasy stuff for that too, which is almost non-existent.
Right. It's like 10 minutes of the whole movie if you really think about it, and then the rest mm-hmm. is in the school and the house or whatever.
Pan's Labyrinth too. That's I think when that was being marketed in the States, it was marketed more as
a fantasy movie, I guess.
A family fantasy movie than.
If we're talking about bad marketing, Click. Oh my god! Misleading marketing.
Cried during.
I was
movie.
Like, this
you
is gonna be.
Cried.
I took a date to go see that movie because I was like, this is gonna be hilarious, mm-hmm. and it was. And then all of a sudden, it was like.
Well, I almost cried because I turned it off when it got to that part. I was like, nope, not dealing with that.
That was good.
I took a date to August Rush, which was sadder than I thought it was going to be. And Benjamin Buttons did that one also. And Coraline, that was my first date with Lisa. And I still love that movie.
Pay it forward.
But I definitely didn't think it was going to be what it was. You know, I thought it was going to be more family friendly in the light of like Nightmare Before Christmas. And it was definitely, I mean... practically see boobs in that movie. I mean, you come really close.
Really?
There's these really old, like, witches. Or there's like, these really, really old witches, and they're like, kind of like burlesque performers.
Ugh.
And so there's a certain point where they're performing, and they're still in underwear, but, like, the proportions are so huge, and the mm-hmm. underwear is so small that and they're old. It's supposed to be gross. Like, it's supposed to be not attractive at all.
Right.
But, you're almost seeing everything. And that was marketed as a family movie also, you know? So,
we should be complaining about marketing.
Yeah, I think that's probably that's the culprit more than anything. That's kind of why I don't
really watch trailers
anymore.
But they do that that way, so they're going to get that bigger audience, you know, instead of what it really is.
Because apparently the new Die Hard blows.
Yeah,
it's
I heard that.
From what I've heard.
But the trailer makes it look amazing.
Yeah.
I agree.
Although the same people that are saying it's terrible said that Live Free or Die Hard was not great either, and I love that movie. So maybe I'll like the new one more than everybody else. Maybe I still won't think it's good, but maybe I'll like it more than everybody else. Because Live Free or Die Hard's my second favorite Die Hard movie. I really only like the first one and that one. I don't really like 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but that just goes back. I don't watch trailers. I mean, if it's something that I already know I want to see and the trailer's not going to decide that, I'll watch trailers to get excited for it. But, Like, I already knew I wanted to see Pacific Rim before trailers came out for that, so I watched the trailers.
Man, that trailer... I still think it looks
mind-blowing. If that turns out to be nothing but fart jokes...
No, it's not going to be fart jokes.
No, but it's entirely possible that it's
cancel
not,
the apocalypse.
It's not going to be the way the trailers presented it, right?
I actually think they're... I think it's going to be not taking itself seriously, right? That's how... What you got from it, right?
I think it's going to be taking itself pretty seriously. At least, I mean, the canceling the apocalypse line and...
It's got GLaDOS in it.
I mean, it's like...
I mean, most of the
we
cast...
made robots to fight... I mean, we made right. monsters to fight monsters and...
And... I don't know, it's Guillermo del Toro, he has his light moments, but, I mean, the lightest thing I've ever seen him make was Hellboy. So,
right.
Everything else is horror depressing as hell, so...
Yeah, Mama's great, it's a family movie.
But, I don't know, there's nothing in there that says super serious right now.
Right, no, you're right, yeah. There's potential for it to take itself too seriously.
Which I would be fine with. Yeah. But
Charlie
I don't
Day
think it
is. In it. I've never seen Charlie Day be anything but funny.
Ah, he's
so.
Super serious.
So who knows? But the rest of the cast are pretty
well, he
serious.
Could just be that character, though.
Yeah. The rest of the cast
but I'm
are
seeing
pretty serious actors.
Pacific Rim for the monsters, because those are, like, stunning.
Dude, if Cthulhu comes out of the water at one point, I think I might die. Because Guillermo del Toro is a huge Lovecraft fan. And there's a rumored Cthulhu movie that he was making that got canceled, so maybe he's just... just kind of bringing it in into that movie, which it would totally work because it's like they came from the sea and the Cthulhu monster is kind of like they're supposed to come from space, but they might come from the sea also because they're sea creatures
in a different dimension.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that again now that we're talking about it. But my point is, like, I already know I'm gonna see this. I already knew I was gonna see the second Star Trek movie before they showed a trailer for it. The trailer is not to convince you to come see the movie, it's to get you excited because you already want to see the movie and you've just been waiting to see something.
And then you see the 6-minute preview.
Am I the only one who doesn't think that the second Star Trek trailer looks as good as the first one?
I don't think I've seen the second
and
one.
And then you
yet.
See the 6-minute preview.
No, I meant like,
like
for the second movie.
I don't. Okay. Maybe. When I saw the first trailer for the first movie, I kind of was like. So they showed the teaser where you just see the ship or whatever, and I was like, eh, I don't really like Star Trek, so this isn't anything.
That was the best trailer
for
ever.
For people who like Star
day.
Trek, though.
Yeah.
And then they showed the trailer, and I was like, oh, this is kind of like Star Wars. I think I'll like this.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is not it's neither of those. It's more like, this is
to me,
Batman, kind of.
If you looked
like
at
that,
the, if you watched the 6-minute thing, it looked like Indiana Jones in space.
That's pretty cool. It's like Stargate.
Yeah, I don't see what the problem there is.
I didn't.
Awesome.
It looks exciting.
But, I don't know, I see the trailer and, like, all the Khan moments, or they don't say he's Khan yet, all the Benedict Cumberbatch moments, I'm like, whoa, this dude's gonna be a total badass bad guy. And I'm really excited for him. That scene where he's jumping in the robes and, like, shooting at the same time.
I hope so.
I just like, I like the fact that they're doing things, like, in the city area. I love Space City. So, I see that and I'm like, oh, I'm excited. But I don't know. You're right. Maybe it's not actually as amped up or as
exciting. We
don't
even get to see
her
with the volcano and, like, freaking Spock's about
well,
to
I mean,
die.
There are Vulcans.
And...
Maybe I'm just saying the editing in the trailer doesn't like it. What'd you say?
I got you. You should be ashamed of yourself. We're having a serious conversation. I'm just kidding. It's awesome.
He said, did you see the part where... You didn't even see the part of the volcano. And I said, I mean, there are Vulcans.
That was a good one.
I was just thinking of Doctor Who when the volcano erupts. They're like, it's so volcanic. It's like a volcano.
I
like,
hate
oh,
that episode.
Oh, there's the birth of volcano. That's where the word came from, apparently.
I don't like that episode at
all. It's not a great episode.
It's not a bad episode.
But Amy Pond is in that episode. Well, the actress is in that episode.
As who?
She's one of the priestesses. One of the crazy priestesses. It's
just like Martha Jones was?
Yeah.
In one?
And apparently it's really common for that to happen. In fact, actually, one of the previous doctors, he was actually a extra or a cameo or side thing before he was a doctor.
10 was in the first episode.
Yeah.
Of 11.
Was he?
Yes, he was in the van.
No,
dude,
I have a hard time.
We'll look this up
that.
Later.
I think he might have been in a scene with 9 or something like that, but
100%, he was in the first episode of 11.
This is what happens now.
Yeah.
Just devolve into Doctor Who.
Alright, so...
Do we have anything else to say
no.
on the topic? This has seriously been an episode where we just really spiral into other conversations. That's good, I think.
I think it's been good.
But I'm really bummed about Young Justice, man.
Yeah, that's a shame and a tragedy.
And Robin's dead.
Six seasons in a movie.
It's just been a sad week. Did y'all hear about that? Robin got killed.
Is he the one that got killed in
Death? I heard something about that.
Killed Damian. It's not really spoilers because they...
Killed his son?
Batman didn't kill him.
No, I mean, like...
Yeah. Well, Grant Morrison created Damian, the character, essentially. And his run on, like, with DC is essentially ending. Like, he's leaving DC. So, he's apparently in an interview...
He lives in Washington?
Oh my god, that was so bad. Anyway, what?
He's Scottish, anyways. Basically, he was interviewed, and he basically said he designed, like, he created the character... He created Damian just so he could die, eventually. Like, he wanted people to... He wanted to create this jerk of a character that everybody would hate and make you like him, and then kill him off at the end. To prove a point, essentially. Because... He dies because Batman and Talia are fighting each other, and no one's looking out for him, and he goes to actually try and save his dad, and dies. Which, it wasn't... That actually sounds really sad. It wasn't delivered in a way that was particularly sad, but...
Does he take his face off?
No, he just gets stabbed.
Oh.
But there's a really awesome, like, buddy cop moment of him and Nightwing basically behind a table with all these, like, guns and stuff firing, and they're, like, talking to each other, and like, man, this is like the old times. And they're like, yeah, I really miss this. And it's just this really awesome moment. And then they like jump over the table, and it's like kung fu karate kicks kind of stuff. And that part was great. They're just taking down people. But yeah.
So spoilers.
Yeah, Robin's dead, but everybody knows that at this point. They still, like, before the book was even out, they were like, Robin's gonna die. It would have been surprising if he didn't.
Uh-huh.
That would have been the spoiler.
What if they killed Batman?
They've done that before. But everything I've heard is, like, yeah, he's not coming back. Like, he's a character that'll be dead forever. And there might never be another Robin, actually, is what people are saying.
What?
Well, they're changing, at least for now, they're changing all the Batman and Robin books to, like, guest issues where it's going to be Batman and Nightwing and Batman and Red Hood and Batman and Red Robin and stuff like that. So, who knows?
Red Robin.
I guess that's my kind of closing thing. Y'all have closing things? Things you want people to check out?
Check out Mucinex. It's good for you.
You actually sound better. I don't know if it's the talking or the medicine kicking in.
You have to get your ID out to get it, though. Because apparently you're a druggie if you get Mucinex.
Follow me at KRR Reviews on Twitter.
On Twitter. Check out my 5MinuteAdventures.com. It's 5MinuteAdventures.com. Not my 5MinuteAdventures.
My 5MinuteAdventures.com?
Yeah, I don't know where that'll take
you. That's a porn site.
5MinuteAdventures.com.
Oh, man.
I have two stories up, and there will be one. There will be a third story by the time this is live. So, cool. That's it for the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You don't have anything cool?
Oh, they're real. Still suck. I hate y'all.
Are you still doing stuff on XP with me?
Check out my genetics paper.
Review school.
Help send Thomas to med school. Check out his genetic.
Review my genetics paper. No, I'm fine. I got it.
Alright, well, anyway, so that's it for the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, if you enjoyed the show, go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, 5-star rating. We always appreciate it. We could use much, much more. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, they don't need my help. They got things covered.
That's
not
a lie.
True. We need anybody's help. So the easiest way, the quickest way, the way that costs you absolutely nothing is to go to iTunes and just leave us a 5-star review or a 5-star rating. Get us. It makes it easier for us to get promoted earlier on the iTunes pages. So, yeah, it's not. It's really easy to do. We need our fans to do it, so please do. Other than that, thank you for being such great listeners, and that'll do it for another episode. Later.
We're getting copyrighted. Yeah.
Thank you.